This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's from the SNL 50 anniversary reunion. You know what we haven't played yet today, Mac? Which we need to get back probably into the next break, is Cody Rhodes. You know, when he's not getting his ass kicked by the final boss and John Cena, he's... addressing the crowd in Washington, D.C., which is where we broadcast from.
Yeah, didn't he get smacked by, like, Travis Scott?
Yeah. He broke his eardrum.
Yeah.
There was one report that said that. I don't know if that's true or not. He's going to announce or address the crowd tomorrow night in Philadelphia. But, you know, just because he says whatever he's going to say doesn't mean that that's the truth either. But he'll probably say, I ruptured my eardrum. In Philadelphia tomorrow. I'm half tempted after the show to drive up to SmackDown tomorrow. I'm half tempted. I don't think I'll do it.
Why not? Where'd you say it was?
In Philly.
Philly's a lovely. Yes, Philly's a lovely set.
I didn't say it wasn't. Yeah. I went to WrestleMania there. I was there at two Commanders games this year. I love Philadelphia. I got no problem with Philadelphia.
You could probably leave right after the show, get up there in time.
At 4:00.
Yeah.
The show starts at 8:00.
Oh, you have plenty of time.
Should I? I mean, I know peeps. Maybe I'll do that. Or I could just watch it from my couch.
It's also a lovely option.
Yeah. I love being home. I love being home. There's no traffic. There's no maniacs trying to take me out. You know. Yeah, I love home. All right. So, you have the Boeser situation. I don't think ultimately the Commanders are going to be in on Bosa, but I can't rule it out by any means. They did sign Zane Gonzalez. I said earlier in the show, if it is not with Austin Seibert in a tag team kickoff battle, then they're doing this wrong. I already have a problem with any general manager that doesn't have a double spot for place kickers on a 90-man roster, as Washington has routinely done. And every time they have done it, and every time that I bitch and moan about it, nobody cares, and every time they get hurt by it. Not to say, if you have a competition and eventually when the rosters pare down to 53, you got to choose one. Not to say that you don't then have a further. And I get there's a difference when the rosters are at 53 versus when the rosters are at 90. When the rosters are at 90, there is literally no excuse. I don't need 16 offensive linemen, especially being that six of them probably can't play. I don't need 16 offensive linemen. I don't need 12 receivers. I don't. I need two kickers. And I need Tressway back. That's it. It's not a lot to ask. Again, common sense. And last year at times, they got burnt by it. I mean, obviously, the McManus situation was not what they were planning on. But then they had, if I remember correctly, they signed a guy from the UFL or the USFL or whatever who hadn't kicked in a game in the NFL, and he sucked. And they were like, wait, what? And this is Adam Peters. This isn't Ron Rivera and the Marty Party. Apparently, the term on Zane Gonzalez's contract is 1 year, as we expected, but Ben Standig has it at $1.17 million. All right, so there you have that. I wanted to get something in here. AMAC, you found this. And it's Jay Gruden, of course, the former head coach, our Monday NFL and Commanders analyst throughout the year over the last several seasons. And, you know, some people don't like Jay. For whatever reason they have, I like Jay. I mean, clearly, he has not gotten another NFL head coaching job since leaving the Rams as a consultant. Jaguars as an offensive coordinator before Urban Meyer was brought in for 1 year. And, you know, again, there's lots of reasons for that. He's turned down jobs. I know that. So, some of you wrongly dismiss what Jay Gruden has to say, but I think he's pretty smart, and I think we value or should value his perspective, right? You don't have to agree. You don't have to like it, but value his perspective. So, AMAC, you found this, and he was talking about the five players on the Commanders that what? Have to do what?
They're going to take a leap this year.
So
there are five players that you know, that were on the Commanders last year. There may have been solid players, but he sees them having not necessarily a breakout year, but just kind of building on last year's success or just average season.
All right, so before we start with him or before we go to him, I'm going to say he's going to mention Tyler Biotish and butcher it because he can't say his name, and he's going to call him Tyler Badass. I'm going to say Brandon Coleman. I'm going to say Mikey Sanristil. Dorrance Armstrong. And Brian Robinson Jr.
Okay. I wish he was on this show. Can we play it now?
Let's play it.
All right.
So Jay Gruden, and that was what? On his Twitter, right? Is that where he did that?
Yeah, on his Twitter.
I went 0 for 5.
But I wonder, do you have, like, do you think you have a different perspective on the list, or is there some overlapping after hearing him talk? Like,
well,
disagree?
So here's the thing. I said what? Biotish? I said Sanristil.
Robinson Jr.
Brian Robinson Jr. Who else did I say?
Brandon Coleman.
And there was one. Oh, and Dorrance Armstrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we go into Jay's list, I would say for me, okay, Dorrance Armstrong wilted a little bit down the stretch. That needs to, that has to get better. I think overall he was a good signing. I think they asked him to do maybe a little bit too much. They didn't have enough depth, what have you. That needs to get a little bit better. Brandon Coleman, was he good at left tackle? I wouldn't say he was good. I would say he was fine. I would say he was a little bit more than okay. I mean, he allowed like 10 and a half sacks, something like that. But Rook, and again, he didn't play full time there, but a rookie, a third round pick, I certainly think there's something to work with there. But I need to see more, and I need to see better. Mikey Sanders still, at times, was a bulldog, and a, you know, we talked about bulldogs with when it comes to defensive ends and edge guys, right? Last hour, Mikey Sanders still at times was an absolute bulldog, but at times he could get picked on. He could get picked on. I need that to become better. Now, he was inside. He was outside. He was inside. So, again, year two, I expect him to take a big leap. Biotish, I think he was real good when he was healthy. But I just thought Jay would go with him because no Cosme to start the year in all likelihood. Allegretti was, you know, Allegretti, again, kind of wore down a little bit, I think. And is probably better served as a depth fringe starter guy as opposed to a full-time guy. So, and Brian Robinson, like, look, I mean, we all know how good he was in the first half of the year, but then in the second half of the year, it was injuries, fumbles, lack of production outside of one game. And actually, in Detroit in the playoff game, he was pretty good. The whole rotation was good. So he went Luke McCaffrey. I have no idea why I didn't think of some of these names, but I was just literally doing this off the
cuff, yeah.
Yeah, right. Just like really without thinking about it. Luke McCaffrey, Johnny Newton,
mm-hmm.
Ben Sinnott.
Mm-hmm.
He calls him Sinnott, but it's Sinnott.
That was funny, yeah.
Marshawn Lattimore and Jaden Daniels. Now, I did not expect Jaden Daniels to be on there.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying is, or what he's saying is, from year one to year two, any quarterback will tell you, year one to year two in the system, that's their greatest leap.
Mm.
So if he's using that philosophy, okay. Marshawn Lattimore, I think, is pretty self-explanatory. He was not good against A.J. Brown in either game. He was not good against Mike Evans against Tampa. He was hurt a bunch. He was very effective against Detroit and against New Orleans. They only threw at him once, I think, in Detroit. They didn't throw at him at all against New Orleans. And outside of that, he didn't play, right? So, I mean, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. I should have probably put him on the list, but okay. Ben Sinnott, I guess what Jay is kind of thinking is this. I mean, you have John Bates, who's arguably the best blocking tight end in the NFL, free agent. You have Zach Ertz, who is money on third down in the red zone, goal-to-go situations, old reliable, catch and fall, all that stuff, and played his role perfectly and stayed healthy, which is something he had not done. At some point, one of those two guys, Bates, Ertz, either not going to be here or going to have a regression to the means, right? In all likelihood. So Ben Sinnott's got to up his game. And really, he had one big catch on a flat against the Giants on like third and one at MetLife Stadium. I remember doing a little video piece on it. And he had the one touchdown, but that was in a blowout. Outside of that, Ben Sinnott was not a part of the offense from, you know, the way that maybe some of us thought he would be. And maybe some of that was because he wasn't ready. Maybe some of that was because other guys are better, so on and so forth. But he certainly needs to step up. Johnny Newton, at times I thought Johnny Newton was like, oh my gosh, look at this guy. Look at how he chases down backside plays and look at how he hustles, what have you. And I got to be honest with you, in the second half of the year, I didn't see enough out of Johnny Newton. I don't know if you disagree with me, but I didn't see enough out of Johnny Newton. I'm not saying ever,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't see consistently enough out of Johnny Newton, Jerzon Newton, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, and I guess this is just me being like a Big Ten homer. I covered him a lot, mm-hmm. Covering the Big Ten.
Sure.
But, yeah, I
tell the people what you do. You
work over at another radio station where I'm doing Big Ten this morning.
We can say it. SiriusXM.
SiriusXM, yeah. Doing Big Ten this morning. Right. But yeah,
so I thought you guys you guys talked about Johnny Newton a lot coming out of Illinois, obviously.
Yeah, and he's a great player. If he didn't break his foot, I believe, his final season, I think he would have gone.
And then he had another procedure on the other foot, which obviously got his season off to a very, very slow start here in his NFL career.
Yeah. And I definitely agree with you. There are definitely times where you could see him and look at him and it's like, oh, there goes a rookie mistake right there. There goes a rookie. But when it comes to talent and just raw ability as a football player, I think I really like this guy. And I think that was a great draft pick for you guys. So I think I'm a little higher on Johnny Newton than you are. But yeah, there's still definitely room to grow for him. Also didn't play a lot. He was behind Jonathan Allen and the other
But D-tack. He wasn't behind Jonathan Allen the whole year because Jonathan Allen obviously missed a lot of time.
Games.
I thought he started off, again, strong, and as the season went along, I noticed him less and less. Now, maybe that's me. Maybe I was missing something, but like just for instance, okay, if you just, again, I don't know how you feel about PFF grades. You know, Johnny Newton in his rookie year got a 52.7 overall out of 100. A 46.3 run defense grade. Now, that's exactly the same run defense grade as Daron Payne. So, I mean, if you want to say, well, he's doing as good as Daron Payne, yeah, that's the problem. Daron Payne's not good enough in that area.
Yeah, so
certainly not for what he's worth. Now, he did. This is interesting, right? In almost 210 less snaps, he graded out slightly better than Daron Payne overall. And again, the same as a run defender, a much better tackler, according to PFF, and actually a better pass rush guy.
Yeah.
You know, but I would say overall, maybe it was because of the injuries to start. Maybe it was too much to ask when Jonathan Allen went out. I thought Johnny Newton was fine. I wouldn't say he was great or a stud or special. That's me. Again, I could be wrong, but I think the grades pretty much are in alignment with that. And who else did he have? He had Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah, Luke, to finish it off.
Luke McCaffrey's a good one. I can't believe I slept on him. I mean, because Luke McCaffrey, here's the deal. He had the big fourth down catch against Cincinnati, which set up a touchdown in the Monday night game, week three. They're just outside of the kick returns. There just wasn't enough outside. Now, early in the year, he seemed to be getting open and not getting the ball. I think as the season went along, that felt less and less. Again, maybe I'm missing something, but that felt less and less. So, to me, I think Jay's right in that all of those guys have to step up, non-Jaden division. But if his point is the quarterback goes year one to year two with the biggest leap, I guess Jaden can get a lot better. We'll see with Deebo Samuel and whatever other adjustments they make and not being a rookie and having seen a lot. You know, we'll see. We'll see. So I can sort of understand. I would have gone a little bit different. Again, maybe I only put Biotis on there because Jay loves to say Biotis' name. So I was just kind of doing a sort of a bit. Biotis needs to just stay healthy because when he wasn't, that offensive line wasn't what it takes. But Sanra Still, Brian Robinson, Brandon Coleman, and Dorrance Armstrong, I think that's fair. Who are your, we don't have to do top five. Who are your top three probable or expected returning players that need to make the biggest jump, the biggest improvement, or that will make the biggest jump or biggest improvement? Per Jay Gruden, you heard his list. Luke McCaffrey, Johnny Newton, Ben Sinnott, Marshawn Lattimore, Jaden Daniels. What about yours? 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. That's an important question I ask every day. So I had Cody Rhodes ask it for me. No idea sometimes what you guys want to talk about. Try and cover as much of it as we can. Not everything, but as much of it as we can. Sometimes it goes, it feels like it goes nowhere. especially when it's not football related. But even with the Commanders, there is Commanders fatigue. I was just looking at a couple of odds. Jimmy Shapiro sends this to me. Jimmy works with Bet Online. So, you know, again, you just take it for what it is. And he's got all sorts of different things, but this centering on veteran wide receivers, Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen. Again, all three guys could help a team. Like, and you can make an argument if either one of those three guys signed here with Deebo and Terry McLaurin and Luke McCaffrey and whoever they draft, and if they bring back Olamide Zaccheaus and maybe Noah Brown, I guess. You could say they have a pretty good receiver room. But neither one of those three, Allen, Cooper, Hopkins, are going to be big-time difference makers at this point. I don't see that. But Amari Cooper. So BetOnline has, will the Bills re-sign Amari Cooper at plus 150? No, minus 200, which indicates, you know, a fairly good chance that he's not coming back. Now, again, they don't know that. They're just guessing that. But I think the writing's been on the wall. Now, the problem is they have Mac Hollins, who's also a free agent. They just re-signed Shakir to a long-term deal. And they have Curtis Samuel, who had a pretty decent year. And I think Curtis is on a 3-year deal, if not memory serves me correct, up there. And they drafted, you know, the kid from Florida State, so on and so forth. So I don't think Amari Cooper's coming back to Buffalo either. But in terms of his next team, the odds, right, because people take this stuff seriously, which they shouldn't, but they take it seriously. The Commanders, AMAC, do you want to take a guess at what the Commanders are listed as for Amari Cooper's next home and your Giants?
Oh, my Giants are in there, too.
You know, and we're using the, you know, just so everybody understands, we're using the, you know, 4-1, 5-1, 6-1, you know, kind of formula, just so everybody knows. So Giants, Commanders, Amari Cooper, what do you think?
Can I just say, like, where they rank on odds list? I know nothing about gambling, so I don't think I can.
All right, that's fair.
Okay.
Where do you think they rank?
Okay, I'll say the Commanders, Mark Cooper. I'm going to say they're second on the list, and the Giants are fourth.
Wrong.
Yeah.
The Giants are ninth at 14-1 behind the Chargers, Jets, Panthers, Packers, Jaguars, Texans, Patriots, Steelers. A lot of teams need receivers, which is why, I mean, if you think about all of those teams have had weird stuff, to say the least, go on with their receiver position, right? So the Giants are 14-1, ninth off the board. The Commanders are 22-1. Behind the Rams, who are losing Cooper Kupp, but that's their choice. But just re-signed Juju Atwell today to a 1-year, $10 million deal, which seems a little rich to me, but what do I know? And ahead of the Saints, Cardinals, Cowboys, 49ers, who they just took Deebo Samuel from. But we know the 49ers are fairly deep at wide receiver, assuming that Ayuk doesn't get traded, and assuming that Ayuk comes back healthy. All right, so there's that. Will the Chiefs re-sign DeAndre Hopkins? Plus 120, yes. No minus 160. Again, 61.5% likelihood of Hopkins not returning to the Chiefs. So once again, you got to look and you say, all right, who could be a fit? Well, again, the Jets are letting Davante Adams go and dangling Alan Lazard. They haven't let him go yet, but dangling Alan Lazard. They obviously have, what's his name? The stud from Ohio State.
Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson, thank you. Not Zach Wilson. No, no, no. They had him.
Yeah, long gone.
Yeah. So for DeAndre Hopkins, the Carolina Panthers are listed as the top team, followed by the Texans, Patriots, Steelers, Jaguars, Cowboys at plus 850 or 17-2, Chargers, Cleveland, the Jets, the Vegas Raiders, Packers, Saints, Broncos, Tennessee, San Francisco, Tampa Bay, Arizona. Am I missing the Giants and the Commanders on the DeAndre Hopkins list? I don't think I am. I don't see them anywhere. We mentioned where they were on the Amari Cooper list. I don't see them on the DeAndre Hopkins list. I could, again, could be missing. And I see the Giants only on the Keenan Allen list. I'll have some details on that when we return after a final trending alert on the afternoon right here, right now on the Team 980. All right, so we mentioned the Commanders re-signing one of their place kickers, Zane Gonzalez. They had two that were unrestricted free agents. Now they have one, Austin Seibert, still out there. Meanwhile, huge NFL news just crossing the wire now. We told you about this potentially earlier, right, when we listed the Cincinnati Bengals, or when there was a list that included the Cincinnati Bengals in terms of a contender for Nick Bosa. Well, the Bengals are reportedly letting Trey Hendrickson seek a trade, 17 and a half sacks last year. And he hasn't been able to get a long-term deal. He's under contract through the end of this year. All of a sudden, Trey Hendrickson, at the age of 30, eight-year veteran, four Pro Bowl appearances, all of a sudden Trey Hendrickson becomes probably number one on most people's list, including the Commanders. We'll discuss that next. 77 sacks in his eight-year NFL career. And finally, the Nationals will be taking on the Mets right here on Friday night in spring training baseball. Today, the Nationals and the Cardinals are going at it. The Nats up 11-1. We're expected to be joined by Jacob Young at some point tomorrow afternoon. As far as today, Keibert Ruiz with two home runs on the day and three RBI. And that's what's trending. Here's what we want to talk about. As I just mentioned during the trending alert, Trey Hendrickson, all-pro defensive end, 17 and a half sacks last year. I think it's 34 over the last 2 years. Has asked for and been granted permission to seek a trade from the Cincinnati Bengals. So I didn't realize the negotiations have been going on so long, but I have this breaking news, and then I have more. Ready for this one, AMAC?
Oh, boy.
They finally give him 2 years of failed negotiations. Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports says the Commanders are among several teams that would be interested in trading for him, per sources. Let me let that marinate. The Commanders, among several teams, not surprising, would be amongst the teams. But he specifically mentions the Commanders.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean the Commanders are going to land him. That doesn't mean that they're not going to pay a king's ransom for him. But if you're the Bengals, right, and you brought this up going in the break, first year, final year of his deal, how much could they reasonably expect back in return?
Yes.
And I said to you, well, if you're the acquiring team and he now has permission to basically talk to the Commanders, or his agent does, and they work out a four-year extension at $30 million a year, which Trey Hendrickson says, I'll sign that.
Yeah.
Then the Commanders basically can go in and make that trade and say, okay, we'll give you the number 29 overall pick. We don't have a fourth and a fifth round pick. We'll give you the third round pick, and we'll give you a sixth round pick for Trey Hendrickson. And then we won't have a first, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth.
So do you think that getting a deal, because my mind will go to, you would get the deal done before you make the trade, like behind?
That's what I would try and do,
yeah.
Especially being that I have permission to seek a trade, or he has permission and his agent have permission, which means they have the green light to go and talk to Adam Peters and the Commanders.
Yeah, so my mind goes to, like, being a Giants fan, the Brian Burns deal,
where we
got him for what, like a third round pick.
I thought it was a second and a fifth, but I could be mistaken. I'll look it up while you make your point.
Yeah, but my thought process is, like, I remember when the deal got done, the consensus was, wow, that's a steal for the Giants. When it comes to compensation, they gave up to get him. Now they still had to pay the price tag to get him, but in terms of draft capital to get him, that was a steal. And so, I'm thinking the same thing with Trey, where it's like, as the team receiving Trey, whatever you deal back, I think you have a lot of leverage, and that everyone knows he couldn't get a deal done with you guys, and he's going in on the last year of his deal.
So there are some differences. One, Brian Burns was a franchise-tagged free agent. Hendrickson's got 1 year left on the deal. So there is that. The Giants gave their 2024 second and fifth round selections, number 39 overall, number 141 overall, and a conditional fifth rounder to complete the trade, then signed Burns to a 5-year deal worth $150 million, 87.5 guaranteed. Fully guaranteed, $76 million. Now that's the problem. It's not what they gave up for Brian Burns, because other teams were basically, like, the Giants apparently were off, like, asking or maybe were offered. The Carolina was offered like two first round picks the year before or something like that, if I remember the story right. It's the price tag that they gave to Brian Burns, who's a good player, maybe a very good player. I don't think Brian Burns is an explosive player, a dominant player. Trey Hendrickson's a badass. I think. You know, Trey Hendrickson's not as good as Myles Garrett, but he's better than Brian Burns, I'll tell you that much. So the problem wasn't what the Giants paid in trade compensation, it's what they agreed to in terms of contract. But if you told me, hey man, with 1 year left to go on Hendrickson's deal, if I gave him a 4-year extension worth an average of $30 million? 4 years, $120 million, $105 million guaranteed, $100 million fully guaranteed? I'd probably do that trade if I'm the Commanders. First round, number 29 overall. I'd like to keep my second round pick, so I'll give you my first, my third, and my sixth. I'd probably make that deal. I think that's a better deal than what the Giants did, and they're getting a better player, I think.
No, they're definitely getting a better player.
I mean, Brian Burns is good, right? But Brian Burns is not. Don't think he's Trey Hendrickson.
No, I don't think it's close. But do you think that because that he's going into the final year of the deal, do you think that that's giving the Commanders or whoever is going into that deal to get the trade, do you think that that gives them leverage? Would you say that that gives them leverage?
It gives them a little bit of leverage, yes, because they have the. I presume they would not want to work out a trade unless they worked out a contract, and they would have to feel comfortable with the contract before making the trade, if that makes sense. If Trey Hendrickson said, "Nope, I'm only signing for 4 years, $200 million." I would only do that, and then you don't make the trade. So, I mean, do they have the leverage? I think to some degree they do, because they don't make the trade, I presume, unless they have a long-term deal. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they don't work that out beforehand, but I think that's probably how that would work. By the way, Brian Burns last year, and I remember when we were in New York, you know, the Giants had the most sacks for the defensive line. Commanders shut them down. Played in all 17 games, 42 tackles, 29 assists, or 49, 42 solo, I should say, 71 overall combined tackles, 8.5 sacks, 8 passes defended, 2 forced fumbles. Brian Burns is a nice player, good player, maybe a very good player. I don't know if he's Trey Hendrickson. Right?
No, 100%.
I mean, maybe that's an overreaction because Trey Hendrickson had 17.5 sacks last year. But here's also, I mean, first of all, Trey Hendrickson did not start off in Cincinnati. He started off in New Orleans. And just, again, played in all 17 games the last 2 years in Cincinnati. He's 30 years old. He had 17.5 sacks each of the last 2 years. 36 quarterback hits last year, 25 the year before that. I can get you some more numbers, but anyway. Two forced fumbles last year, 3 the year before that, 3 each of the 3 years before that. You know, a lot of those come on sack fumbles. So it is what it is. But I mean, if you have 17.5 sacks and say 3 forced fumbles on 17.5 sacks, I presume that's what it is. I don't know that just yet. You know, that's what? Almost 1/6 of your sacks, you're creating not definitively a turnover, but a potential turnover. Because forced fumbles are not a turnover. Fumble recoveries are the turnover. All right, 349, Team 980. Wow. So that's Jordan Schultz, who's specifically mentioning the Commanders. That doesn't mean the Commanders are the only team. That doesn't mean the Commanders have a deal. That doesn't mean the Commanders are the only option here. He very specifically puts it as the Commanders are among several teams who would be interested in trading for him, per sources. Which means he either got that from the agent or he got that from somebody in Washington that he knows that he made a quick call to or that he had a little like conversation with in Indianapolis over a cocktail before almost punching out Ian Rappaport. Nah, I'm just teasing. But you see how this stuff works? I mean, not a guarantee that the Commanders are going to get Trey Hendrickson by any means. I'd be really curious what the extension is, really curious what the trade compensation is. But, I mean, I just tried to outline for you what I think would be reasonably fair. I don't know if I'm right or wrong. That's without the ability to do any research. But I'm just guessing, hunching, you know, something along those lines. All right. Timeout. We'll come back, wrap it up with Dumb Dumb of the Day. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we're wrapping up shop here. We got to get through this. Craig Huffman coming up next. So, AMAC, why don't you hit that tune? I don't mind telling you, everything to do with the Kardashians, I cannot stand. Everything. There is not one thing I respect. There is not one thing I like. Not one thing I will tolerate. So, this is more of a personal agenda item than anything. Times Square, a 60-foot-long balloon body double of Kim Kardashian has shown up in the middle of Times Square this week in New York City. Barely covered in a blue bikini, 15-foot-high replica of her butt in the middle of Times Square. It's a marketing stunt for her latest Skims, S-K-I-M-S, clothing line, which, there's not much to be seen there, which I'm sure is why it's very popular. And anyone who is stuck watching this crap at Times Square, including the story in the New York Post, says a father who took a photograph of his young daughter in front of the balloon. Once he snapped a few pictures, the young girl switched places and took flicks of her father. I don't know. Man, you got some issues. Can we please act like a normal society? Can we not sensationalize Kim Kardashian? Can we not give a flying bleep about anything Kardashian? Please, stop. That's why we are a dumb country. Well, one of the reasons why. And that will do it for us. Craig Hoffman up next, along with Anthony Haney. Thanks to AMAC on the other side. Oh, the glass. See you tomorrow at 1 to round out the week right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Adios.